Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of November 2015. I'm Todd Gleason here at the iHotel for the annual University of Illinois Extension Conference. This morning, they heard from David Horzager, who is a New York Times bestseller about efficiency and trust. We'll talk with him a bit later in the program. Before that, we'll discuss the commodity markets, of course, that with Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. And as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at what the weather forecast has in store with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers on this Wednesday afternoon as they finished up from the CME Group in Chicago. December corn down a quarter of a cent at $3.61 3/4. The March at $3.68 1/4, up a quarter. And the May futures unchanged today, $3.73 1/2. The final trade, July at $3.78 3/4, up a quarter. And December of next year finished at $3.89 1/2, a half of a cent higher, rather a half of a cent lower. Soy complex January beans at $8.57 3/4, finished 6 1/4 lower. The March down 4 1/4 at $8.60 3/4, and the May futures down 4 cents, $8.66 1/2. The settlement price, July down 3 3/4, and next year's November down 4 3/4. It settled at $8.77 for the afternoon. Bean meal down $2.90 at $2.85.60. Bean oil 3 cents lower at $27.44. Soft red winter wheat, December contract down 4 1/4 cents at $4.83 1/4. July down a half at $4.93. Soft red, or rather hard red, in the July for the harvest month at $4.93 1/2, down 2 cents for the day. Live cattle futures finish the nearby contract at $130 even. That was up $1.97 1/2. The February there at $132.32 1/2, up $1.75. November feeders $1.45 higher at $174.92 1/2. The January at $163.95. They were up $2.65 for the day. And lean hogs in the December contract at $54.65, 47.5 cents higher. Of course, don't forget to pick up your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up next week on Tuesday. In Normal, Illinois, the cost is just $30. You can buy those tickets online at farmassetsconference.com, willag.org, or by calling this number, 800-898-1065.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil at $40.90 a barrel, up 23 cents. Ethanol futures are down 0.8 cents at $1.45 2/10 cents. And gasoline on wholesale price, that's the RBOB, at $1.27 1/2, down, or rather up 3 7/10 cents at this hour. December diesel fuel, heating oil at $1.38 3/10 is 1 1/2 cents higher. And natural gas, down two cents at $2.35 1/10 cents. In the outside markets, the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,649, just about 195 points higher. The U.S. dollar trading at 99.74. That for the day is up 0.06, and gold futures on the afternoon at $1,070, $1.40 higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area tonight. Partly cloudy, a low this evening of 39 degrees on a southwest wind at 13 to 17, gusting to 26. Tomorrow, the sun will come back out with a high of 48 degrees. It'll be breezy tomorrow with a west wind at 14 to 20 miles an hour, gusting to 30. And then Thursday night, mostly clear, a low of just 29 degrees, west-southwest winds at 6 to 10. They'll gust to 15. On Friday, partly sunny skies and 48 degrees. Friday will have a west-southwest wind at about 6 miles an hour. We'll fall to a low Friday evening of 32, a 50% chance of rainfall after midnight and Saturday. More rainfall before the noon hour, partly sunny, and a high of just 36 degrees.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Jackie Bakes is still out of the office. Chip Nellinger has agreed to join us again to take a look at the marketplace. Chip, again, thank you so much for being with us, not only this afternoon, but this morning here on Illinois Public Media.
Not a problem. My pleasure, Todd.
Well, as we talked this morning, we were delving into what's been happening in the marketplace and whether we can find some kind of low in particular for the soybeans. I think everybody was a bit surprised that the market sold off some today. It didn't seem to hold on all that well throughout the day, though. And we're off the lows, at least, as we finished up this afternoon.
Yeah, and kind of a reversal here, just on looking at a daily price bar. You know, had a good yesterday, a little bit of follow-through in the overnight and early morning, and then we just fell apart, like you said. So, you know, I think part of it here is there's just not much ball right now to get the expectation for it on the late side and then pick back up again the week following. So there's just a bunch of to get out of the recent range we've. And the markets are just...
You know what, Chip? I'm afraid that this afternoon we're not going to be able to talk to you, and I can give you a good reason why. You're breaking up pretty hard, and it's because the bandwidth here at the iHotel isn't as much as it should be. They're trying to stream the conference out live on video. That takes a lot of bandwidth. And then, of course, I'm using Skype to get hold of you. And simply, it appears that we have run out of bandwidth, so we're not going to be able to have our discussion. I'm sorry that that's the case today, but thank you for trying to fill in for Jackie Bakes this afternoon.
Not a problem.
All right. Thanks so much. That, of course, is Chip Nellinger. He's with Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, and unfortunately, just not enough bandwidth to carry on that conversation this afternoon. And I'll see whether I can fix that between now and, I don't know, about 10 minutes from now. We'll see whether we can get something else back up to talk about on the marketplace. Let's turn our attention to other things that are happening. Again, don't forget to pick up your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up next week on Tuesday. Should be a really good day. If you haven't purchased your tickets yet, do it right now, 800-898-1065, or you can do it online. That's at farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, coming to you today from the iHotel here on the south part of the Urbana-Champaign campus. We're at the University of Illinois Extension annual conference. One of the people that addressed the folks that work for Extension, not only here on campus but across the state, joins me now. David Horsager is with us. He has written a couple of books. They're bestsellers, actually.
Yeah.
Is that right now?
Surprise, surprise.
and you wrote books about a couple of things. One of them intrigues me a lot, about efficiency. Tell me about the book and the kinds of things you've been telling folks about efficiency, and maybe what you told the folks at Extension this morning.
Well, then I'd have to start with the first book, which actually is the Trust Edge, and that's all around everything we do comes under the trust research and two basic ideas. Number one, a lack of trust is our biggest expense. The biggest asset we have as individuals, as organizations, as governments, is trust, and there's a way to build it. Under the way to build it, we have these eight pillars, the eight traits that came out of the original research, and under that you have things like consistency, clarity. That's where I started to think about productivity in that second book that just came out called The Daily Edge. How do we daily make an impact? And when you look at productivity books, to get to that second one, you know, a lot of the productivity books out there were like 300 pages long, and I would be 100 pages in and not get a tip on how to be more productive or efficient or effective. Secondly, you'd have people that taught how to be productive and efficient, but at the expense of relationships, and so they would mow over people. And I'm like, well, people are my business. So The Daily Edge really was inspired later out of how do we be effective every day. It's a quick, you know, tip book, 1 to 5 page ideas of, you know, the ideas in there of how I lost 50 pounds in 5.5 months, 90-day quick plan. How do I have a day that where I never have to say, I worked really hard and didn't get anything done. The DMA strategy, the seed strategy, the how to have, you know, no 10 or less emails in your inbox, even if you get 200 a day. So those specific strategies, there are absolutely actionables in the Trust Edge around how do you build trust. And even some of these ideas that are in the Daily Edge. But that's it was a combo of what I did today, both.
Let's go back to the beginning. You said you did some research, mm-hmm. or there was research based on these to undertone these books. Where did that come from?
So my organizational leadership was my graduate work at Bethel University, and that's where it started. Now, of course, out of my company, we do ongoing research for over a decade all around trust, you know, globally in businesses and families and leaders. And so, but that original research, my kind of first question was, how does trust really affect the bottom line costs of things? And so my finding, of course, is that a lack of trust is the biggest cost. It, you know, it affects time. I question you. I'm skeptical. It affects time. I don't trust you. I put a lock on something. Now I have to open it. It costs time. A credit score is a trust score. The more you're trusted by a lender, the less you pay. If we could, you know, have the veggie stand where you have your money out and people can make their own change, that trust increases efficiency. So all kinds of research points to this idea where a lack of trust is the biggest expense. And then secondly, and how do you build it? And that's where there hadn't been much done on that either. There was a lot on what destroys trust, but the eight-pillar framework, we call it, on how we actually build trust in a brand, leader, or organization, that was the second part.
So in the interest of efficiency, yeah. How actually do you build trust?
Well, these eight pillars, so people trust the clear, and they mistrust or distrust the ambiguous. So clarity is one way we build trust. Secondly, compassion. We trust those that we think have not just their interests in mind, but they have intent for others. They want the best for you. Character. People thought that's the only thing, honesty, integrity. It's not the only thing, but it is important. We trust those that have a high moral character. And not just integrity, but moral character actually is higher trusted. Integrity is just being the same in thoughts, words, and actions. You could argue Hitler had integrity, but not character in a certain way. So competency is another area. You have to stay fresh and relevant and capable. We might trust someone to watch our kids, but not to give us a surgery or a root canal because they're not competent at it. Commitment. We trust those that are willing to stand in the face of adversity. So if we know someone's committed, we'll tend to trust them. Those that are willing to collaborate and connect with others. They're not siloed. They're not just, it's all me or it's, but they're willing to kind of reach across boundaries. We tend to trust those. Contributors, those that get results, we trust. So you've got to get results. You can't just have compassion and character. You've got to get results. That's a contributor gets results. Now, you can't just get results and not have compassion or character. We don't trust them either over time. You had it all eight. The final pillar was consistency. You got to be the same. Sameness. We trust sameness. I mentioned this morning, a lot of people trust McDonald's even if they don't like them because I've had the same burger in Frankfurt, Tokyo, and Cleveland. We trust sameness. We want to know you're going to be the same every time. The only way to build a reputation, the only way to build a brand is being the same every single time. That sameness is what builds trust, whether it's good or bad. If you're late all the time, I trust you to be late. So you got to have consistency to build trust in any area, good or bad.
And finally, to wrap up our discussion, one quick tip for folks who use email every day. How do you clean up your box?
Well, there's several in there, but I'll give you a quick four. Number one, think about it as a through box, not an inbox. Try to get everything out of there as quick as you can. So think about it this way. Number one, if at all possible, delete it. You're just going to do it later anyway. Number two, deal with it right now. It takes 3 minutes. Many people read an email 5 to 7 times before dealing with it. Think of it as information sharing only, not emotional stuff. So don't fire someone through it. Don't emotion, call them for that. But the email should really be 3 sentences or less. It should be quick, tight, attachment, this, that. Just think of that for information sharing. Put it in your folders. Get rid of it by putting it in folders for later. But the one that really can change your inbox is flag or tag. Learn how to flag it for a certain date or tag it to your calendar. So in other words, and if you don't know how to do this, ask your 14-year-old. Because basically what happens is people leave hundreds of items in their inbox and they either when it gets down to 100 plus, they either let it go and they had something important there they needed or it wasn't important anyway. But when you flag it, like in certain programs, if I say, oh, I need this at tax time, I don't need it until then I can flag it for March 15th, April 1st, sometime when I want it to pop up, and it'll go away from my inbox, and it will remember to come back to me when I need it, so I don't have to be glancing through hundreds of emails, and they come back to me when I need them. Learn to bundle, another idea. Learn to check your email at the top of every hour, three times a day. Don't check one every time it dings. You finally get to something valuable, and bing, oh, wow, Viagra, or whatever it is. You don't want to be doing that. You've got to stay focused and actually get something done. There's a few of the ideas.
Thank you so much, David. I appreciate it. The name of the books again are?
The Trust Edge and The Daily Edge.
That's David Horzauger. He spoke with the folks here at the University of Illinois Extension Conference held at the I Hotel. That's where I'm broadcasting to you from. If you'd like to learn more from him, you can always visit his website. It's thetrustedge.com. Don't forget, if you'd like to participate next week in our Farm Assets Conference, you need to buy those tickets right now. You can do that at farmassetsconference.com or call 800-898-1065. Should be a great day over at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center at the Illinois State University campus in Normal. That starts around 10:30 in the morning, but we kick off about 9:30 a.m., finish up around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Fantastic day. Get your tickets now, just $30, 800-898-1065. Don't wait. Do it today. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm coming to you from the I Hotel here on the South Campus in Urbana-Champaign at the U of I, where University of Illinois Extension is gathering for its annual conference. The Director of Extension for the state is with us, George Sipar, this afternoon. George, thank you for being with us. Tell me a little bit about annual conference. This is an event that happens every year. How many folks are employed across the state by Extension?
Yes, we've got a total of almost 700 employees across the state, various unit offices. We've got a number of educators around the state. We bring everyone together, not the entirety of the group, but we try and get the educators and the county directors on campus. About 250 are here today. But the other thing that we did that was a little bit different this year is we streamed the keynotes to our offices all over Illinois. So they got a chance to participate, and some of the clerical support and some of the folks that work out in the field are able to hear it as well.
Well, congratulations. One of the reasons you're with me this afternoon is because you're streaming some of those events, and it takes up the bandwidth.
That's right.
And then I can't. So I won't say you're filling in, but
yeah, okay. I'm used to that. That's
but
right.
But you did cause some of the problem.
Yeah, we did.
that's all right. Extension has changed over the years, its function, not its function in particular, but the way it's made up. How is it delivered today, and how does that differ than maybe it did 10 years ago or 20 years ago? It seems to be a much more streamlined, much more efficient organization.
Yeah, and as you remember, Todd, about 5 years ago, we went through a fairly significant reorganization. Again, driven by some budget concerns, and so we looked at where we have facilities, where we have staff, and we made some pretty critical decisions to prioritize those areas where we felt we could have the biggest impact. And so the first part, you know, from a programmatic standpoint, we made some pretty important decisions at that point. The way that we deliver programs has changed. We still, do rely an awful lot on that personal contact and having people know that they can get the information that they need. But what we also find is that people rely, as we heard just a little bit ago, that more and more on internet resources, and one of the major things that our communications and IT group is doing is trying to find that unified strategy where we're coupling communications with our IT delivery system. And so people want to have information, they want to get it to their cell phone immediately, and we're trying to adapt our methods, not to necessarily scale down the type of information we deliver, but just to make it available on demand as the people would like it.
As often, all kinds of entities, including this entity, willag.org, has done over the years, where you're trying to reach a clientele base with information quickly and available in a form that's easily consumed by them, whatever that form happens to be. Many people are already turning to their mobile devices, and Extension in Illinois will soon be making a big push that way, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. And again, the numbers reported today that I think it was over 70% of the population has a mobile phone, and that's really a pretty important way for getting information delivered. And so that's something that we're certainly going to expand our efforts in that area.
Can you talk a little bit about the agricultural audience for Extension and how expectations are changing over time and what kinds of services Extension provides and will continue to provide?
Right, and obviously the farmer in Illinois has some pretty high expectations as far as the type of information that they need. The level of sophistication, as you know, well, probably better than anyone, has increased so much over the years that in order to have that cutting-edge information available, the producers are going anywhere in the world to get that. And so we want to make sure that the types of programs that we offer are timely, are very appropriate, and are based on some good, solid research. We see areas that Extension, I think, can fill a pretty important niche. We just recently hired an Extension water quality specialist. The nutrient management plan that's going on right now in Illinois relies on an awful lot of expertise on what type of best management practices, where these need to be employed. It's been really a widespread endorsement by commodity groups, by farm groups, to see that this is important. And so we're delighted that we have some capacity to help provide that research support for that effort.
Yeah, and on that note, just for those of you who are thinking about nutrients and their ability to move through the water supply, this is something we will be taking up, the nutrient loss management strategy for the state of Illinois. We'll do that next week at the Farm Assets Conference. And the folks who helped write that, Mark David here on this campus from NRES, Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences, will be with us. The folks from the Fertilizer and Chemical Association will be along for the state of Illinois to talk about the easy things that producers can do. For instance, no anhydrous ammonia before November 1st, no matter where you are in the state, and some other things. And then Jonathan Compass upstairs in the College of ACES will be there to take up the policy impact. And frankly, he'll talk a lot about what's happened in Massachusetts, what's happened in Iowa, and the regulations that not only are potentially coming down the pike, but that are already in place, and that what we're trying to do in the state of Illinois with the help of Extension and this new best management practice, folks, to try to avoid.
Right, exactly. And I think that's the real strength that, again, Extension offers is that kind of collaboration among different disciplines and trying to just partner where that level of expertise goes. Beyond kind of the work that we're doing with agriculture, one of the things that we'll be talking about tomorrow is Extension branched out, and we have a partnership with other faculty on campus. We opened it up, and it's an Extension and outreach initiative, and we invited proposals from campus, not really sure what to expect, and we had over 70 faculty that submitted proposals that they wanted to work with us. They had very specific goals in mind, and we selected 8 of those, and those have been very successful in terms of broadening the scope of Extension, looking to see where we might have an impact with some really world-class faculty that see us as a mechanism to get their information out, but also equally as important to be able to identify needs in local communities and to see where they can tailor their research to answer some of these critical questions.
Yeah, one of those is the Fab Lab. In fact, they were here earlier today. I had the chance to talk with them. They did a 3D model of me with that microphone that you're holding.
Oh,
so hopefully that'll be printed up and I'll get hold of it.
It'll be a collector's
classic
item.
Let's go with that. Thanks so much, George. I appreciate you being with us today.
Great. Thanks, Todd.
George Sipar is the director of University of Illinois Extension. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. In just a couple minutes, we'll be back. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's St. Peter the Apostle Day, patron of bakers, butchers, fishermen, harvesters, and foot problems. On this day in agricultural history in 1307, the legendary William Tell shot an apple from his son's head in order to avoid execution for failing to bow before a hat on a pole on the local square belonging to the Habsburg Emperor. Historians continue to argue over the saga generally. The story is considered fiction. In 1805, Lewis and Clark reached the Pacific Ocean, the first Americans across the continent. Over a two-year period, the expedition covered 8,000 miles. Upon their return to St. Louis, they received a hero's welcome and grants of land. The Sacagawea received no compensation for her services. In 1810, Asa Gray was born, a leading American botanist of his time. He was a strong supporter of Darwin. In 1874, the Women's Christian Temperance Union was formed in Cleveland, Ohio. In 1966, American Roman Catholics were no longer required to abstain from eating meat on Fridays, but the prohibition continued on Ash Wednesday and Fridays during Lent. And in 1970, Linus Pauling declared that large doses of vitamin C could keep the common cold at bay. Pauling concluded that the best daily intake of vitamin C for most people was between 2.3 grams and 10 grams a day, well above the recommended daily allowance. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason, broadcasting to you live today from the iHotel here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois for the U of I Extension's 2015 annual conference. We're joined now by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to take a look at the weather forecast. As folks were coming in today, Drew, many of them said we blew in because, frankly, they fought winds all the way here from all across the state. It's part and parcel of a pretty good-sized storm that's wreaking havoc in all kinds of parts of the nation. Tell me about it.
That's absolutely true. It has had influence from the interior southeastern states all the way up into Canada, actually. The heart of the prairies right now having blizzard conditions from the same upper-level low. It's actually quite complicated. We have an upper-level low up in Canada, and we have a deep low-pressure system that is moving through a part of the Midwest, and it is controlling the weather for a big part of North America right now. The worst is probably over for many folks, but we've seen some pretty hefty rains that occurred the last 24 hours from eastern parts of Texas and Louisiana, even Mississippi, northward into parts of the Midwest. There were some severe thunderstorms, some tornadoes reported. There was rain totals running from 1 to 4 and local 5-inch amounts down across the lower Mississippi Basin area. And out to the west, in parts of hard red winter wheat country yesterday, anywhere from 4 to 12 inches occurred, with northwestern portions of Kansas reporting more than 20 inches of snow in a 24-hour period of time, with moisture content in that running upwards to an inch and a half, almost 2 inches. So pretty impressive stuff. And blizzard conditions did occur yesterday in the northwestern part of hard red winter wheat country. And, of course, we've got the same conditions right now in parts of Canada.
And will we get the colder weather here in our part of the world soon?
Eventually. It's going to come in little chunks. We will see colder weather this weekend across the Midwest. We'll have temperatures just a little bit below average. Highs will be in the 20s and 30s across the north and probably in the 40s in the south. That's not too bad for this time of year. It'll be a little bit of a shock to most of us since it's been warm here recently. But I think as we move forward into the end of the month, we're probably going to run into some reinforcing cold that'll be a little bit more impressive, and perhaps we'll get involved with a little snowfall eventually. But that's probably not going to occur anywhere in the lower Midwest for a while.
We'd be amiss if we didn't take up other parts of the world, starting South America.
Certainly, conditions right now in Brazil are looking relatively good. We still have a less-than-normal rainfall pattern occurring across some of the northern parts of the country, and that's going to continue for the next couple of weeks. The end result of that is not necessarily threatening to crops as long as they get rain on a pretty routine basis. The lighter amounts will be evaporated away a little bit quicker than usual, so the need for timely rain will be ongoing through the balance of this month and into December. Argentina looks pretty good. We should see a good timing of rain and sunshine occurring, alternating periods of both taking place. It should be a good environment for planting there. And looking further overseas, looks like conditions in Australia are going to start drying down again after about a week to 10 days worth of beneficial rain for some of the summer crop areas. The drier weather will be good for harvest of winter crops. So, and China keeps getting abundant precipitation. Their wheat crop is going to be tremendous in the spring.
Thanks, Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.